Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Well, somebody beside of you, I love you and the Lord loves you. All right, tonight I'm just going to share something that's been on my heart. I'm a word of faith kind of guy. I love the Word of God. And I want to talk about how our actions should always be backed up by our faith. See, some of us think that our faith ought to be backed up by our actions. But it goes the other way as well. Can you say amen with me tonight in the house of God? Hallelujah. The actions of a doer of the Word of God should always coincide with his or her confession. Can you say amen? In the Word of God tonight, in Romans, the 10th chapter, I'm not going to turn there, but I'm going to be quoting some scripture. But in Romans 10, verse number 8, the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, penned these words down. Hallelujah. He said, "But what saith it? The word is very nigh unto you, even in thy mouth and in your heart, which is your spirit, man. That is the word of faith which we preach." Now, he's not talking to unbelievers here. A lot of people call this the Romans Road, and I don't argue with them. The original plan of salvation was in Acts chapter 2, and verse 38, that we should repent for the remission of sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, he said, to your children, Peter said, and to all, that's us, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But when the scripture talks in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, he's talking to the church in Rome, Paul said, inspired by the Holy Ghost, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, talking to Christians, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, which is your spirit, man, that God has what? Raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. For, verse 10, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have to say something about it. Can you say amen? Remember the God's say-so scriptures that we talked about not too long ago? God said it. You know, some people say, God said it, I believe it, and so. God said it, that settles it, and whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. Can you say amen? So in verse number 10, it says, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everything that we want in faith has to be spoken forth with our mouths because it comes out of our heart. That's why David said in Psalm 119 in verse number 11, Brother Chris, he said, I've hid thy word in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against you. Even with the word there, there's a choice, isn't there? That's why the word might is there. We have the choice. We can still yet sin if the word of God is in our heart. We've got to say something. When the devil comes after us or he's trying to chase you around the room, he ought to catch you. Because we have the right and the privilege to say something before he does catch us. Amen? And we don't need to get caught up in our own traps tonight. We don't need to get caught up in our own traps tonight. But if we open up our trap tonight, amen, that other word for your mouth, and begin to speak something that's down on the inside of you, your faith and your actions will meet together somewhere in the middle of the road, and sparks will fly, and something's about to manifest. Come on, somebody, tonight, and say amen with me. Can you say praise the Lord? I put down in my notes one of the greatest mistakes that believers make as becoming new converts in Christ is that they confess their faith in the Word of God, yet at the same time contradict their confession by wrong actions. Now, we know these things in our everyday lives. Every one of us have been guilty of that. Isn't that correct? We may have a need about something, and we'll say, well, we're believing God, and we're standing in faith. Dr. John Polis sent me a text message the other day, said, Brother, I'm standing in faith with you. Because he knows that in spite of everything that's going on the outside of our bodies, he knows that I'm going to stand in faith. You're going to stand in faith with me in prayer as well. And we're going to keep confessing by word of mouth what is in our hearts, which is the Word of God. That's why we are to constantly meditate upon the Word of God. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and quote a couple of scriptures here. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to sound like the glib tongue of some fast-talking evangelist, but I need to get this in tonight. Can you say amen? So Psalm 1 and verses 1 through 3, King James Version. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you have a friend that's in need of counsel and you send them to a worldly counselor, shame on you. Because we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, people that are unsaved. We walk in the counsel and the might of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Number two, nor standeth in the way of what? Sinners. And number three, who sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But three words, say this with me, but his delight, you see. See, or her delight. But his or her delight is where? In the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord does he both meditate day and night. Now watch this. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose fruit shall come forth in a season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever they set their hand to do, what? It shall prosper. Can you say amen tonight? Because see, that's the Word of God. That's what needs to be hidden on the inside of us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. Now, how's that happen? With that hole in your face, so to speak, with your mouth. You've got to say something when the enemy comes in. You've got to do something about it. If someone trespasses on your property and you're crying your eyes out and you've got no trespassing signs up, you forgot to do something. I know this doesn't sound pretty, but sometimes when the enemy trespasses on your property, you have to enforce the law. Some people know better not to step onto your property when there's no trespassing signs. But some people are boneheads. Amen? Some people can't learn their whole lifetimes. They do not learn. So you have to enforce that law. And that's what we have to do when the enemy comes in. We have to enforce what's on the inside of us with our mouth. And when we confess it with our lips, God says your actions that follow will prove that your faith is real. Can you say amen? Now, we say that we are trusting God tonight to provide for our financial needs. I just put down some simple things. But at the same time, we worry, how in the world am I going to pay my bills? Now, how many of you have been there? Come on now. Just raise your hand up. You know you've been there. One minute we confess that the Word of God is true. The next minute we repudiate everything that we have said by the wrong actions that we bring about. Can you say amen? So our actions must correspond with our faith. This is just Word of Faith teachings, all it is. Just notes. All you have to do is sit there and just meditate on the Word and write the notes down. It's real easy. Our actions must correspond, again, with our believing if we are going to receive something from God. Can you say amen? Now, what does the Bible say about how our faith is made perfect? I'm going to turn in the Scripture here, and I've already written it down in James chapter 2. If you want to follow right along with me, and for time's sake, I'm going to just stick with myself quoting these Scriptures and reading the Scriptures tonight so we can get through this. James 2, verses 14 through 22. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is what? It did, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. You see, it takes more than just saying, I believe in what the Word of God has to say. I tell you, when those devils start backing up, when you make it personal. You can't shirt tail off of someone else when it comes to having strong faith to overcome doubts. You've got to speak it for yourself. You've got to stand in faith when that stuff comes against you, and you've got to speak out of your mouth what's in your heart, and what is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Can you say amen? So if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, can you say amen? That's the Word of God. Then when we have need of something, all we have to do is open up the bank down there. Can you say amen? Slip the key in the lock, turn it, open it up, and there's treasures in there. And just open up your mouth and begin to speak and watch those treasures come out of your mouth and create an atmosphere of faith. Can you say amen? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou hast faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Another translation of verses 14 and verse 22 reads, and it's Moffat, I looked it up. What good is it, my brethren, in verse number 14, if a man professes to have faith, and yet his actions do not correspond? You notice that his faith was cooperating with his actions. Pretty simple, but yet can be profound at the same time. His faith was cooperating with his actions. Amen. Sometimes we don't even know that we're operating in faith until we step out and act upon the Word of God. And when you act upon the Word of God, your faith will be released along with your action, and God will bring something to pass that you didn't even believe that He could. It's happened that way sometimes. Some of us call that blind faith. Amen. But I call it professing faith. Amen, because when we have a need, sometimes the only thing we need to do is say, step forward, please. You got to tell your spirit man. You don't want to do it because you don't think it's possible. But the moment that you step forward in faith, then your faith, coupled together with the corresponding actions, will cause a manifestation to happen in a hurry, and the devil will begin to flee from you. Can you say amen? Now, James 4:7 said, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and what? From you. Draw nigh unto God. That's part B. And God will draw nigh unto you. Now, some have thought that the book of James was written about salvation. I just put down some simple notes. And was addressed to the unbeliever. But how many of you know that James was an epistle? It was an epistle. And an epistle is a letter that was written to the churches. And so we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they begin to proclaim everything that Jesus said and did while he was here upon the earth. That's what the book of Acts chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5 talks about. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Can you say amen with me tonight? But when we get over into the 21 epistles, there's 14 Pauline epistles and 7 general epistles or letters written to the church, then we have faith in action. That's what an epistle is. It's really just faith in action. You put your faith into what the Word of God says, act upon it, and God will start bringing some things to pass in your life. Can you say amen? James said to the believers there, what does it profit who? My brethren. Not the unbelievers, but my brethren. James was writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ, pointing out that faith without corresponding actions won't work for them, even though they are believers. You can have faith, but without action, there's nothing going to take place. There's no works coupled together with the faith that make it alive. But and so if you show me your works, I'll show you my faith. And if they're not working together simultaneously, then nothing's going to happen. In other words, we pray sometimes and say, I'm acting in faith, but we do absolutely nothing about it. But sometimes when we pray in faith, we just have to stand. And in that standing, that is the corresponding action about what you said you believed in when you spoke it with your heart. Come on, somebody. You know that's the truth tonight. James said in chapter 1 and verse number 22, King James Version, but be what? Doers of the word and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your very own selves. Moffat's translation reads it this way. Deluding your own selves. You know what deluding means? Deluding means cheating or fooling yourself. Why would we want to cheat or fool ourselves about what God's Word said? Take it at face value. I believe that all of the Word of God, some people say, no, you're wrong here. All the Word of God is literal when you establish the text. Some people said, well, there's symbols in the book of Revelation. What about that? When those symbols are established in the text and we find out what they mean, then it's literal to us. And we understand it and we can do something about it. Can you say amen with me? And so I put down, there are many self-deluded people who blame their problems on the devil. Can you say amen? or some individual when really they have deluded themselves. You know, this blame-shifting Three Stooges syndrome thing is not worth 2 cents. You know, you can't, hit the one next, and then he's hitting the other one, and the third one's looking for someone to hit, and there's no one there. You're going to run out of people to blame. Can you say amen? So your biggest enemy, too, is not the devil. Did you know John 16, verse number 11, said the prince of this world is judged? He has no say-so in your lives. And because he doesn't, the prince of this world is judged. Guess who your biggest enemy is? Your flesh. That's who your biggest enemy is. You're always warring against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. Can you say amen? Now in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27, the Bible reads this, as Matthew tells us, inspired by the Holy Ghost here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, who's that? Who's speaking here? Jesus, isn't it? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them, I will liken. There's a simile. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is the name that represents the Godhead in the New Testament. But yet it was that one God, Jehovah, in the Old Testament, who was our rock in the wilderness. He was our rock and he was our fortress. Isaiah 43:11 said, besides me, Jehovah said, there is no Savior. The Jehovah of the Old Testament became the Jesus of the New. Hallelujah. Because of that one God that we serve in the person of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that triunity of the Godhead in the New Testament that we so much better understand Him by, we know that we can act in faith and say, if He was the God that was with them as a fortress in the wilderness, He's the same God that's with us in our wilderness in the New Testament. And we still yet have wilderness experiences. Can you say amen? But God didn't create a wilderness for us to just sit there and play pickup sticks in the woods. God created us and made us in His image and after His likeness, that when we are in the wilderness, we will find a way out of the wilderness. He is the way that is the way maker. Years ago, I heard someone singing, or heard about someone singing. They were singing, He's a way maker. Jesus is the way, oh, He's a way maker. And they had 300 people in this choir, and they had one woman who was singing lead saying, He's a rain maker. And everybody else was saying, He's a way maker. I say He's both. He's a rain maker if we need it. He's a way maker when there is no way. God will make a way when there is no way. Come on, somebody, tonight. I feel like preaching a little bit. In verse 26, He said, and every one of them that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The storms of life come to us all, don't they? They may be storms of sickness. They may be storms of financial difficulty. They may be storms of family problems. They may be some kind of storm of some other kind of a test. It isn't the storms of life that defeat us, however. If the storms defeated us, they would defeat us, all of us, every one of us, all the time. But watch this. It's not the storms that defeat us. It's our reactions to the storms that defeat us. As the winds blow and the floods come, he who is a doer of the word, watch this, will hold fast, Brother Tim, to his confession of faith, because he knows God cannot fail. He is the God that cannot fail. He is the God that's still sitting high up on the throne, high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. He did not move. Nothing budged him. He's still on the hinder part of the ship with his head asleep on the pillow. Come on, somebody. He's with you in the midst of the storm saying, what? Peace. Be still. If sickness comes, you'll stand your ground and refuse to accept it, no matter what the devil may bring your way. You refuse to accept it. Others may be defeated in the same test, but yet they seemingly are defeated but are not, because their faith is being released out of their mouth. They may not see anything with their naked eye, but they're still standing strong in the midst of the storm. Can you say amen? Those who are not defeated by life storms, I put this down, act upon God's word 24/7. They meditate upon God's word 24/7. It's Jesus in the morning. It's Jesus at noontime. It's Jesus when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. It's Jesus when the storms of life assail. Can you say amen? Those who are defeated may be truly saved, yet their actions are not corresponding with their faith, and their faith is not corresponding with their actions. The same wind and storm came upon both of the houses in the text that we established tonight, didn't it? This is what I put down. The reason one was destroyed and the other wasn't is because the wise man was a doer of the word and the foolish man refused to be a doer of the word. He just heard it. He didn't take heed. He didn't take heed in the Greek means every precautionary measure. So we need to take every precautionary measure. We need to surround this thing in prayer. Praise God. Years ago, I remember saying prayer isn't the answer to everything. Praise is. And then God corrected me about that and said prayer and praise is. He said prayer is when we begin to cry out to God, when we begin to ask God what to pray, so that we can pray His perfect will. And when we do that, we're praying in tongues, aren't we? We could figure that out from Romans 8 and verses 26 and 27, which is the highest kind of prayer. Can you say amen? Praying in the Spirit, because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in the perfect will of God. And right after you're praying the perfect will of God, go ahead and praise God and add wings to the prayers. That's what praise does. It adds wings to the prayers, and it brings forth the manifestation of what you've been praying about. Come on, somebody. Somebody hold my horse while I shout tonight, because it's worth doing that. Amen. Come on, someone. I put down many profess Christ and declare they believe the Bible from, I started to say Genesis, but it's Genesis to Revelation. Yet they are not doers of the word. Could you say amen? They are talkers of the word. Talkers of the word. Talkers of the word. They'll talk right along with you. They'll believe everything you say and agree with you and talk the word, but they're not doers of the word. You've got to become a doer of the word. Somebody say that. A doer of the word and not a hearer only. Praise God. In other words, you've got to get between this skull up here. You've got to hear it in there first, and then it gets transferred 18 inches down, so to speak, into your heart, your spirit man. And hear it there. Hallelujah. And once you hear it in your heart, then you'll get a revelation and you will become a doer of what you heard in your inward man. That's why we need to learn how to train our spirits. Train our spirits. Train our spirits. Get the Word of God inside of you. Read the Word of God. It's like frontlets before your eyes. Keep it ever before your eyes. Well, how am I going to do that? You got to read it. You got to learn to meditate upon it. Quote it. Continue to quote it. Learn how to quote the scriptures. Memorize them. Quote them over and over. Walking through the house or in your car. Pull off the side of the road and get out and have a fit. Praise God. Out in the woods somewhere. I knew that up on top of Dolly Sods. There was an avalanche up there, and they closed the road here just a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of wondering if it was from all that praising that was going on. Amen. They closed the gate and wouldn't let me in. You ain't coming back in here, you praiser. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's praise Him for a moment. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank God for His praise. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise Him with the 10-stringed instruments. Praise Him with the sackbut. Praise Him with the psaltery. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the dance. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Come on and praise Him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. the difference between the talkers and the praisers and the believers. There is a difference. I put down the talkers mentally ascend and understand the word in their mental realm or in the mental realm. They understand it, they've heard it, they believe they understand what it means, but yet their actions do not correspond with the faith they said they had to get them there, to the point where they need to act so that something can manifest. So the talkers have mentally assented that the word of God is true, but it doesn't do them any good because they are not making it in their own or ascending in the spiritual realm with it, is what I put down. They're not ascending in the spiritual realm, but only in the mental realm. Now, what do I mean by that? Your spiritual realm is when you know that you know that you know that you've got a rhema from God. In other words, when God reveals something to you and you know that you have a rhema, praise God, not a raven, a rhema, a R-H-E-M-A. We get a rhema, which is a revelation out of the Logos. A rhema is a revelation out of the Logos, which is the written word. Or God can literally, divinely give us a rhema himself by revelation and tell us something. And when we get that, we ascend into the spiritual realm. You're in on cloud nine with God. Amen. Praise God. In other words, praise God. You reach a place, a plateau in the spirit, when you start jumping up and down because the light comes on. You can see it. You know, you've read it before. You've quoted it before. You've jumped up and down before, and it didn't mean anything, but you did it because everybody else jumped up and down. That's mental ascent. But once you get it yourself, there's a spiritual ascent that takes place. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise in the house of God tonight for his goodness. Now watch this in Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. So you're involved in two things there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not somebody else's. But in the Old Testament, the heart was the soulless realm. It kind of got it reversed. It was the soulless realm in the Old Testament, the mind, will, and emotions. Trust in the Lord with all that. Praise God. And then part B says, and lean not to your own understanding. So you got to trust, and once you trust, you release everything else to God and not lean upon your own understanding. You'll get your dollar bills coming in. Because once you start doing that, your faith and your actions will meet up somewhere in the middle of the road, and manifestation of what you've been praying about is going to take place. Come on, somebody. And I put down here along with that verse, you cannot trust in the Lord without trusting his word. Just simple things. God and his word are one, aren't they? Just as you and your word are one. A man is good. We used to shake hands. You know, I saw my dad. You know, well, do you want me to put this in writing? My dad said no. My dad would sell things to people. No, you don't have to do that. I believe you. No, you're good for your word and a handshake, and that's all there was. No contracts, no nothing to back it up. So I put down, if your word is not good, you're not good. Just simple things. Your word is your what? Your bond. Amen. If you got false teeth and you don't put that glue on there in the morning and you go out the door, you might end up tripping over them. Can you say amen? Praise God. But if you put the glue on, it sticks. And your bond, the bond that you put your teeth in on, it will stick to the roof of your mouth and not fall out on the ground and you trip over it. Can you say amen? I know I'm being silly. Yeah, I put down, if God's word isn't any good, he isn't any good. We've got to challenge God. God, if you said this in your word, I stand upon your word. Some of us are standing, like I preached in Ligonier several years ago, a series. I preached two series when I was there the last year. Marriages on the rocks versus marriages on the rock. And then secondly, I preached a series, something about what we're talking about right now. And that is about turning over a new leaf by finding it under a rock. How did it get there? God put it there. Sometimes things are there for a long time. They're right underneath of our feet. And that leaf is underneath of the rock. and it got pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God's about to use someone to give unto your bosom. Can you say amen with me tonight? A couple more minutes and we'll be done. It's only 10 till. In Jeremiah 1, in verse number 12, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Now watch this. Another translation, Green's Literal. Another version or Green's Literal translation reads, "I watch over my word to hasten and to perform it in a hurry." In a hurry. Just a couple of months ago, Brother Chris, it seems like it's been in a hurry. Now look where you're at. Praise God. Everything going well? Praise God, because God was watching over His Word over your life, and He was hastening in a hurry to perform it and bring it to pass. You know, I put down, if you don't take the Word of God to be yours personally, God doesn't have anything to use to bring good to your life. I'm going to read that again. God told me to put it down. I believe I heard from God. If you don't take the Word of God to be yours personally, can't get it off someone else. God doesn't have anything to use to bring good to your life. You know John chapter 14 and verse number 13 says, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it." Verse 14 says, "Ask anything in my name that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Just that short verse in verse 13 in the original Greek, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it," says this. Watch this in the original Greek. "Ask anything in my name, and if it's not right in front of you, I'll make it for you." In other words, God's a great chef. He's preparing some kind of, whipping up some kind of good soup or stew for you. Man, there ain't nothing like a good bowl of soup. Everybody's talking about, man, I went to this restaurant and ate from this chef, and he's world-renowned, and whatever. Who cares? I just want a good old bowl of soup and a homemade roll. Praise God, the pot of beans or whatever. Put them on the stove now. Okay, honey. Watch this now. I want to read that again. If you don't take the Word of God to be yours, God doesn't have anything to use to bring good to your life. He wants you to have what His Word promises you. But you must get it for yourself. Time to go fishing. If you haven't used the right bait, hey, faith is the bait that will stir up the gifts and calling of God that are on the inside of you, plus the word that you've hidden in your heart. And it will bring forth utterances that will bring forth manifestations of what you have been believing God for several years. Faith sees the answer. Now, the broadcast that He's Alive, that program that I had, now faith is, or faith is now. Faith is not later. Faith is now. We have to act now. If we have the Word of God on the inside of us, we're always waiting for this thunderbolt to come out of heaven to move us. Well, when that happens, I'll start dancing. Do you know that all the dancing and things that we should be doing starts out in the flesh? It doesn't start with God. It starts with us. We get the music moving, we start dancing, and then God will start moving. If we'll just not get the cart before the horse, but we'll just get the horse before the cart. The cart will get pulled itself. Can you say amen? But I put this down here tonight. When I trust in the Word with all of my heart, and I stop leaning upon my own human reasoning, and stop looking to people for deliverance, I will have actions that will correspond with my faith. You see, years ago, I had a little green magnetic ruler. It was just about that long. And I had it on my refrigerator when I first got saved. And every morning, I would look at it. You know how religious we are when we first get saved. I got to look at that today, and I'm sinning. So I looked at it every morning. And it says, "Measure your life with Christ." When you do that and practice that, you don't have time to judge anybody else. You know, you don't have time to say, "Well, I can't believe they're not acting in faith." Well, you're not either. Look what you just said. Can you say amen? We have enough of our own problems. We ought to be praying for one another. And so I put down here, I have actions that correspond with my faith because I have faith in what God's Word says. My actions are in perfect fellowship with my confession of faith. Now, I'm just writing this down. Real simple stuff. Just writing it down. Just writing it down. And I put down here, it has taken some of us a long time to learn this, and it will take others longer because they have been walking in the wrong pathway. I'm talking about myself. It took me several years to understand what real faith was all about. Man, when I come out, I got saved in 1980. I got saved, man. I come out of the world. I mean, I hadn't been in church a couple times my whole life. I didn't care about God, didn't want anything to do with God. But man, when I got saved, that's all I wanted was God. And I wanted to do everything the right way, the way He wanted me to do things and to have things the way He wanted me to have things. And not to consume things upon my lust, but to walk in faith and get things from God so I could be blessed, so that I could be a blessing to others. Come on, somebody. I put down here people that are in the world that are walking the wrong pathway. Their minds are so cluttered with human reasoning that it will take a while to renew their minds with the Word of God until their actions begin to correspond with their confession of faith. So be not their judge. Until there are corresponding actions, there will be continual failure in lives. Continual failure. We will have continual failure and not grow in faith and watch the manifestation of what we've been believing and confessing to God for out of His Word will be continual failures till we confess it and then just start praising God and leave it alone. Don't say, well, why hasn't it come to pass today? Continue to say, back last Sunday at 10:32 in the morning, I was standing over here and I got a revelation from God. And right there in that revelation, God told me that 2,000 years ago in Pilate's judgment hall, I was healed. Praise God. I don't have to worry about praying about being healed anymore. I already know that I am healed. Because the Word of God says, with His stripes you were healed. And if we were healed, then I was healed. And if I was healed, I'm already healed. What am I praying for healing for if I'm already healed? Come on, somebody. Start praising God with me. Hallelujah. Corresponding actions. You dance the jig right there on the spot and say, well, glory to God, I'm already healed. Praise God for my healing. Thank God for the Word that I'm already healed. Can you say amen? So I can confess and say that God tonight is the strength of my life. Can you say amen? But if I continue to talk about my weaknesses and lack of faith, I will be defeated because there is no corresponding action that says that God is the strength of my life. Nehemiah 8 and verse 11, I believe it is. It says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's no place in the Bible that tells you you have strength within yourself. But if you'll look a few places, you'll find that everything that your strength is drawn from is called the Lord or is called Jesus. Hallelujah. I have no strength. I walk in the strength of my God tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. I will not be defeated tonight because there is corresponding action. I'm shouting because I've had a revelation. Hallelujah. I've already seen it that I'm healed. The devil can try to bring whatever he wants to bring, but I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I saw something on Facebook a couple days ago. It said, poke somebody, your neighbor, in the eye and tell them, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Come on. So your worst enemy tonight is the flesh. The flesh and natural human reasoning. I remember, and I'm going to close with this. It's 1 minute to eight. I'll close with this. I remember when I got my psychology degree, my community psychology degree. People think I'm nuts, but I heard the Spirit of God say, now, I'm going to use you to turn around and preach against it. I'm like, well, why did I spend all that money for then, Lord? Because you understand it. It's like Dr. Mark Sharona went and got his doctor's degree in psychology so that he can go and take the Word of God and say, everything that you people have went to the four-flung corners of the earth to find, it's all right here in the Word of God. And it didn't cost you a thing, but I'll take your money. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your Word. Praise God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank you for your Word. Hallelujah. That you said that you exalt above your name. Now that's some serious business, Lord. Thank you that our actions tonight should always be backed up by our faith. Hallelujah. That corresponding together. Hallelujah. And then we thank you, God, more importantly tonight for sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. For if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life that was in Him was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We thank You, God, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to be a witness of that light, but was not that light. That light was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. And if He's the light of the world, He has lit us up tonight. And we thank You that there is no darkness that can overcomprehend that light. Thank You for that light tonight, God. It shines in a dark place. Thank You for faith that corresponds with my actions tonight and my actions with the faith that will cause that light to continue to shine. Oh, we thank You that we are a revival going someplace to happen. We don't need 200 people in the house. We only need a handful. As Jesus had 12 and turned the world upside down in a 200-mile circumference. Thank You tonight. It just takes two or three tonight to turn the world upside down, God. Oh, we thank You that Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path tonight. We thank You for the supernatural power tonight. When the doctors say, oh, you can't breathe any longer for 30 seconds at a time, I'll say, I'll preach for 3 hours without taking a breath, because I'm walking and preaching in the strength of my God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. If 3 can put 100,000 devils to flight, 4 can surely chase 1,000,000. Hallelujah tonight. He is our God. He is our King. Open up the gates and let the King come in tonight. Oh, come on, stand to your feet and begin to praise Him. Begin to let your faith correspond with your actions. Oh, step out in faith tonight. Step out in your actions tonight. And your faith will follow right behind. Hallelujah. And there will be miracles, signs, and wonders again. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life tonight. Hallelujah. We walk in the strength of Almighty God tonight. We walk in new strength tonight, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah tonight. You were Isaiah's whole stay of bread, His whole stay of water. You are Isaiah's King tonight, God. Oh, we thank You that You are the root and the offspring of Jesse. Hallelujah. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Woohoo! Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Heavenly Christos. Thank You, God, for Your everlasting covenant. Praise the wonderful name of our Redeemer. Oh, come on, put your hands together for Jesus tonight for what He's done. Come on, let's not patty cake, let's praise Him.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer.